Hello, St. Louis. Eddie McVeigh here, reminding all of you that Maggie O'Brien's is looking forward to seeing you next time you are downtown. We are open 7 days a week for lunch, happy hour, dinner, and late night. Don't forget our banquet room holds over 200. And as always, Maggie O'Brien's is still the place to go before and after concerts and blues and cards games. My brother and I are St. Louis boys, born and raised, and honestly appreciate your business. Maggie O'Brien's at the corner of Market and 20th Street downtown. Union Station is next to us.
This song means, right? Because Doug hasn't seen the film. He's going to watch it tonight. Like, Goonies are good enough for me. And by the way, it wasn't like A-R-E good enough. It was Goonies with the letter R good enough. But what does that mean?
I think it's because the Goonies, weren't those kids kind of nerds?
Well, I think they were from the wrong side. Was it Astoria, Oregon? Was that Astoria, Oregon?
Astoria, that was Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So where Goonies was set. You could text him. Somebody will text him. But I'm pretty sure they were from the wrong side of the tracks. And then they therefore were named Goonies. It's kind of the same thing we did with people who lived on the wrong side of Hampton.
Are we on the right
Which
side?
Which is the wrong side.
This east, is actually, by definition, the wrong side.
East side of Hampton would be the wrong side.
My hood, yeah.
Well, Doug, Goonies never say die.
Okay. But what does a song mean?
It's a good song.
It's a wonderful beat and melody, but I would really want to analyze the lyrics.
I think it's an anti-bullying song because they're saying, look, yeah, maybe you're not the most popular. Maybe your parents aren't the richest. But, Doug, you're still fine the way you are. You're a Goonie. And embrace it and love it. And you do you.
Okay. Now, I didn't see the picture. I'm just assuming that what you're saying now is true.
You should.
But Cyndi Lauper would do a lot of songs that had double meanings, and people didn't know it until after the fact. And so, like, She Bop is about, it's not a poppy song. It's about a woman pleasuring herself. But people don't know that. I know it, okay? So when you listen to She Bop today, know what that's about. So I don't know what Goonies are good enough's about, and I want to know.
Okay.
I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to know what love is. I want you to hold me. Is that Foreigner? 84?
Yeah.
85?
I don't know the dates.
I just remember the Truffle Shuffle.
Chunk.
Remember the fat kid, Doug? And he would pull his belly up, and he would shake it.
Right.
And then all the fat and the rolls would shake back and
forth. Could they do that character in 2016?
They should be able to.
I don't think so.
What about the fact that the Asian gentleman was...
$50 bill?
I don't believe that was his name, but the Asian gentleman... he was the scientist. Also stereotypical. Offensive?
See, everything...
That in 2006.
Everything's offensive these days, which I don't agree with at all, because I watched that movie whenever, you know, 20 years ago, and I never thought any of it was offensive, and I would watch it now, and I wouldn't think any of it was offensive, but I'm sure 10 different groups would see that and find all kinds of things wrong with it.
But what if one of the characters was in local television and living in the poor part of town? Would you find that to be offensive?
Absolutely.
See, all of a sudden I bring it home, and now you can see, you can experience the empathy for Chunk and the Asian boy. What's his name? Data? I mean, that's offensive. I'm offended.
You're
going to be able to get through it?
Isn't that a positive stereotype, though? Okay, the stereotype is out there that Asian kids are really good at math and really smart, okay? And I think a lot of test scores prove that. I'm just
that they can't let the truth get in the way of it.
Okay, but also, isn't that a positive thing? Why would you be mad about that?
Who's mad? Look at the people who are mad.
Agreed.
I'm right now raging.
I can tell that you are. I mean, just hopping mad.
Isn't it funny to see a fat kid with his belly jiggling? That's just funny. Okay, he's a kid.
Why are you fat shaming?
He's got his baby fat. He's a kid.
That's a protected group there, Chuck.
Guys, Lauper told Stern that she recorded She Bop while nude. Thanks. It's from the Googler.
Oh, boy.
It's interesting. Charlie, have you ever done the Truffle Shuffle? Thanks. Stacey wrecked.
I haven't, Stace.
Guys, Confucius say... Is it Confucius or Confucius?
I think it's Confucius.
Confucius, and then like, thank you. It'll help my read. Confucius say, Doug Vaughn, Reich making love to men. Now, that's offensive.
Who was it?
That was offensive.
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man.
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name went into the Ragazzi suspension log. Hey, you know what tonight is? No, wait, that was last night. They do have the steam table open daily, though, 11 to 2 for a quick lunch. Cafeteria style, 13 different options, all for $8.50.
I like those reads, man.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Engine Joe's Cave Ride. It's going to take me a while to write this in the log, fellas.
I think Engine is also.
IJCR.
Cave Ride.
I think Engine is also offensive.
Magic.
I don't think it is.
Engine?
Man.
I'm more focused on this data thing from the Goonies.
He's a cute little kid. He had his trench coat.
Charlie wants to make fun of the fat kid and bang the Asian kid.
Didn't he have all kinds of gadgets? He had all kinds of gadgets coming out of his coat.
Yeah, his belt.
Yeah.
Well, you've done it, Charlie. You've gotten Tim upset with your stereotypes.
Sorry, the PC police.
Social justice warriors.
Bud Light's the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Anheuser-Busch took a look at the landscape in St. Louis and said, you know what show we want to be associated with?
No.
The Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Is this a friend that you knew that owed you a favor or something? Dad, make a nice call for us.
Doug, Bud Light is a light-bodied lager with a fresh, clean, and subtle hop aroma, delicate malt sweetness, and crisp finish for ultimate refreshment. Even the copy makes you want to sit back and have a little bit of a taste.
Yeah. Bud Light, now that's my beer.
It's my beer, too.
Yeah.
Me, too, since moving here.
What did it used to be?
Not going to lie. I grew up kind of in a Miller
Lite. I'm in the middle of a Bud Light commercial, and you're going to do that.
No, but he asked me a question. I said I've switched over.
Talk about offensive.
I said I've switched over. It's a regional thing.
All right.
Bud Light.
You can't beat a Bud Light.
Well, don't ask me the question then, in the middle.
All right. Sorry.
God.
No, Tim, you go ahead.
Guys, both Kindergarten Cop and the Goonies were set in Astoria. Happened in town. That comes from Chunk's puking sound.
Mm. They must have had a street sign in Hollywood that they could put up on the in the set. So, oh, let's just call it Astoria. We don't want to go out and buy another sign.
I've noticed in a lot of the adult films I watch, I'm starting to recognize the houses that they shoot in. Like, the same guy's house is used for, like, 100 movies a year. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to be in the living room today.
You think he's one of the executives of the porn industry?
No, I think people just rent out their homes to the stag industry.
Ah,
I wonder I wonder if people would have a problem if I did that in Kirkwood.
In their big fancy mansion somewhere?
Yeah.
Who would do that? I mean, you've already got the money to have the mansion, and you want these people in your house? I bet it's somebody in the business.
Monetization stream.
I bet you in a weird way, some people think it's cool to have that shot in their house and then go back and watch it in their living room or bedroom.
See that stain over there? Let me tell you a story. I'll ask Caden about that one, see what's going on, because I noticed that. They use their bedroom. Caden and Manuel. I recognize their bedroom. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's a thing. How often are you watching this?
What do you think?
Daily.
Yep. Anyway, Brian Ray was the executive producer of this radio station. And when Doug and the cat and I heard his play-by-play from his resume reel on the first day of this award-winning radio station, Doug, you know what date that was?
No.
August 1st, 2013. Sued by Albert Pujols a week later.
I thought it was like a day later, that afternoon.
If I ever had a chance of growing my hair back, it ended in the first week of August in 2013.
It was a follicle killer.
Good times. But we heard him calling these games. And we're like, oh, we can't make fun of this guy because he's legitimately talented.
Right.
So now, as justice has been served, he is the voice of the AHL's Texas Stars, the minor league team of the Dallas Stars, the team the Blues are playing in Game 1. Of the Western Conference semifinals. Take a listen to some of his work before we put him on the air. Take a listen.
Hit the plaza.
Stronsky, a rink-wide feed, corralled by Bystrom. Dumping it in for the Stars around the inboards of the San Jose zone. Held in by Stronsky, left point. Stepping around one man, a second man off to the slot. A Risker scores! Holy smokes, what a goal from Mane Stronsky to make it 6-5. Pirouetting his way around two San Jose players, banks it off the crossbar. His second goal of the game is a highlight reel tally. And Texas, for the first time this weekend, has a lead over the San Jose Barracuda.
I like that. Barracuda?
This boy good. This boy good.
Barracuda singular?
I do like that. Now I'm going to be focused on that.
Yeah. Mike Emmerich's in trouble.
Doc Emmerich. He's good, man. This boy, good.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's refining his craft in the AHL. He's all grown up.
He's a good dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian with an E. Good morning, Brian with an E.
What's going on, gentlemen?
God, you sound good. I'm so effing happy for you.
I could not be happier myself. If there's one thing that you try to do, it's escape being an intern on this show.
Uh-huh.
Ring it. Ring it.
I think we've lost the
connection.
Actually, we might lose the connection in this interview.
Congrats to Charlie Marlowe for getting ready to tie the knot.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, bud.
Was it the Quinn Snyder hair that actually locked that down for good,
did
that work for
you? I wonder if you were experiencing male pattern baldness like me, if you would have been able to land her.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Let's get her
on.
That's
a good question, actually.
Yeah.
Ask her.
She likes the longer hair.
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah. I don't know what Anna Marie's doing just in general. I think it's some kind of Make-A-Wish Foundation.
She's kind of a lost soul.
That nobody's told her about yet.
Is it like charity work for her?
I think it's a 501c. Brian, you sound great when you're calling the games, and you've now been—is this your second season with the Texas Stars?
Year two in the American Hockey League. And thank you, gentlemen. That's very nice of you to say.
But you really do sound—so damn good. And I remember when I hired you in like June, July 2013. You said, just to let you know, if I get a gig at the AHL, I'm gone. I said, God bless you. I'll be thrilled for you if you're able to do it. And it's so tough, as you know, because there's a finite number of these jobs available. You're not going to go from where you were to the NHL. So this is kind of, I guess, the AAA for hockey play-by-play guys, but it sounds like, anyway, to our untrained ears, like you've got mad game. How is it going for you down there?
It's going great. Certainly the dream since you're a kid is to call hockey, but to do it in Austin, Texas, in a city like this, is also fairly enjoyable as well.
Now, may I ask a question here? I know you'd probably take a job with any team, but, like, is it kind of a feeder system? And the Dallas Stars announcer, is he going to be there for a while or what?
You know, I don't know. It's the Stars actually simulcast their broadcasts on TV and radio. So I don't know if there would ever be an opportunity to be the radio play-by-play guy of the Dallas Stars. But you're right. I'll just take whatever will get me to the show.
The show. I like that, Doug. The show.
Now, would you do TV or radio, or you prefer radio?
I prefer radio.
And why is that, Brian, with an E?
You know what? I think it's just because that's what I've been doing for my career. And, frankly, radio gets to call playoff games. TV takes a back seat for the national outlets.
That's a good point. A lot of people yesterday, for example, and you can totally relate to this, were on the fan page asking if there was any link to Chris Kerber's calls. Because, of course, they were watching it on Fox Sports or nationally on NBC, but they wanted to hear Kerber and Chase. I mean, they have such a great broadcast tandem and chemistry, and they wanted to hear Kerber and Chase's reaction. So there is part of that where fans become ingrained with the radio broadcast and want to hear the calls of their hometown announcers. So you're only 33. God, you're in a good spot, man. Good for you.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. And I get on a plane to San Diego, California today for our playoff series.
Look at you. Is that against the Barracuda?
No, it's against the Anaheim affiliate called the San Diego Gulls.
Doug, you like that?
I bet it's hard to learn the names. They probably come and go pretty quickly in the minor league level.
Yeah, they happen here and there, but for the most part, you just roll with it, Dougie.
Let me ask you this.
Don't call me Dougie.
How is that Toledo Walleye Club? Are they a snootful? Are they even in your league?
They're not in our league, but I hate to break it to you, Charlie. They lost game 7 last night.
Jeff Lurg, the goalie, former Michigan State netminder.
Can you guys have this conversation off the air? Unbelievable. Brian, of the guys that are on the Dallas Stars, I would imagine you are familiar with a number of them because you actually called their games but also got to know them off the ice. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, there's actually a couple of guys on the Dallas roster that I had a chance to get to know this year. So it's kind of tearing at my heartstrings, this series. Huh.
So how do you handle that? And maybe you don't even want to say if you're pulling for the Blues. I don't know how you would handle that. And maybe they would understand if you're pulling for the Blues. I don't know.
The way I justify it is between the Blues and the Stars, one team has actually won a Stanley Cup in the last 50 years.
Okay.
And one hasn't.
Word. A heel turn out of nowhere. This is like when Larry Nickel berated the Ballpark Village audience, the unsuspecting Ballpark Village audience. Brian with an E just made a heel turn.
Damn it. Why?
You cut off on me there, boys. Sorry.
Yep, that's our phone lines. I told you it might just happen. I'm just excited the mics are working right now. But, Brian with an E, so you have made a heel turn, so you're pulling for the Dallas Stars. Is that where you are?
No. I'm pulling for my hometown Blues.
How about that?
Absolutely.
Can you say that?
I didn't get in this with a Curtis Joseph jersey at 9 years old to all of a sudden switch allegiances when the team actually can make a run.
We hear a lot of people, a lot of the former players and analysts, network analysts, are picking the Blues at rather comfortably, actually. Do you see it that way, or how do you see this game?
I think the series is going to be a bit more of a grind than people are making it out to be. But, I mean, how many times if we see somebody knock off the defending champion, they all of a sudden leap to the top one or top two of the favorites to win something? I think the Blues certainly can win. I think of all the Blues teams that have been quote-unquote this year as different, this is probably the one team that has a real chance to do it. But Dallas can score a lot of goals even without Tyler Seguin. And how do you just naturally as a human being, how do you not have some kind of hangover or letdown after you go through the series the Blues just went through? I mean, that was a monster series.
Well, you pull yourself up by the bootstraps and you bow your neck. That's exactly what you do.
No, you know, if only we all could be Doug Vaughn.
Yeah. Clip that off.
It'd be a lot easier.
Clip it off and snag it right. Who on the Dallas Stars roster have you had a chance to get to know and or call games for, Brian?
I think two players. A defenseman who wears number 28 named Steven Johns, who was actually a Blackhawks draft pick and was traded to Dallas this summer.
A lot of ties to the Blackhawks on that team.
We call him Johnsy.
Yes. Yeah. Between Sharp and Oduya and Johnsy, Doug. That's his nickname, Johnsy.
I'm sure it is.
And then there's another player, number 12, named Radek Foxa. They were both with us to start the year, and now they are up in Dallas. There's a few other former AHL Texas Stars in John Klingberg, Colton Sevier, Antoine Roussel. There's a handful of guys on that roster that started in the American League.
As I remember it, Foxy's averaging about 15 minutes and 38 seconds of ice time a game, so he's seeing considerable time.
It's closer to 16 minutes, Doug, but you can shore that up.
Okay.
And that Radek Foxa? That's a tough name because I think he scored a goal, and I had to do the highlights, and I said, I didn't say it with confidence. Radek Foxa.
Are you kidding me? You haven't followed his career?
Radek Foxa.
Yeah. It's one of those words, as you know, Brian, when you're saying a name and it's kind of close to a swear word, so you make sure you really say it properly.
You double check yourself. Absolutely, Chuck. I've been there.
Check yourself before you really wreck yourself. So what is this, a 7-game series for the Texas Stars that you're calling in San Diego?
Actually, at AAA, the opening round is best of 5.
All right.
So it's a little weird. We're the road team, so we took the first 2 games at home, and we go on the road for the last 3.
Cut back on that travel expense. That's what that's about.
Exactly. So we're split 1-1, and we got to win 2 or 3 on the road to get to the next round.
What kind of crowd will they have in San Diego tonight, Brian, with an E?
Actually, they may have a pretty raucous crowd. They've been getting like 8 to 10,000.
Huh. How about that?
Huh. They play back-to-back nights, or they get a day off between games, too?
We go Thursday, Friday, and then game 5, parentheses, if necessary, close parentheses, nice, is Monday night.
Oh. Well, that sounds like fun. It gives you a whole weekend in San Diego to just kind of show yourself off.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad having 2 days off in San Diego just to, kick it.
Yeah. What's your gentleman lover situation?
I beg your pardon.
I was talking to Doug. No, what's your situation, Brian? With an E, are you a bachelor? Or you found a lovely lady in Austin. What's going on with you?
No, I'm still a bachelor in lovely Austin, Texas. I have that Tinder ready to go, Tim, whenever I need it.
Wow.
I'm guessing
Austin, Texas is doing just fine.
Think about this: 33-year-old, good-looking dude, bachelor. Is a professional, does the play-by-play of the hockey team in Austin, Texas.
One of the best cities in the land, sir.
Brian Ray, tell us some stories.
Yeah.
I'm just living the dream, boys. Ma the meatloaf.
Nice. Man, I like that.
Ma the meatloaf. How are the ladies in Austin compared to St. Louis?
There really isn't a comparison. Austin crushes them.
Why would you say such a thing?
Why do you hate St. Louis?
Doug, have you ever been to Texas or the South in a college co-ed town?
I've never been to Austin.
Oh, Austin, fine.
Come on, Doug, come on down. We'll show you a good time.
Oh, wow. Doug, look at that.
You may never go back.
For time. I'm kind of busy, but it does sound like a fabulous place. Well, I'm pressed for time.
Do any of these ladies ever come up to you in a bar and they want you to give them like a goal call?
Oh, nice.
You know, like let's say Radek Foxa scores, and they just want you to kind of do the call for them?
Good question.
Charlie, I'm always in salesman mode. I always tell them if they want to hear a goal call, they've got to tune in or buy a ticket.
Wow, and also, first, somebody's got to score first, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's good.
You know I don't know what you're saying. Is that a joke?
Come on, now, Ryan.
Ryan with an E, man. This guy, I'm telling you, you know what he's going to be at, Doug? The show. Yeah. He's going to be at the show.
Oh, I think
so. It's a matter of time. Yeah. Which team's going to get him?
Hartford Whalers.
Would a Canadian team hire an American to call their games? Has that happened?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
Yep.
I only know of one instance where it actually happened. The Edmonton Oilers hired an American, but usually no. I think there's visa issues or work issues, stuff like that, where it usually doesn't occur.
So that means how many jobs are realistically out there for you?
How many Canadian teams are there?
Doug, how many Canadian teams are there?
Five or six.
It's probably about, I don't know, 23 to 25 NHL clubs, realistically.
And then if there's a job opening, how many resumes and reels do the organizations get, you think, from aspiring play-by-play guys?
I would ballpark it at a minimum 150.
Wow. How about that? God, so you got a 1 in 150 shot.
You need a good agent.
Yeah.
Have you got an agent?
No, but you want to be my agent, Doug?
Sure, yeah.
Could be,
I expect that's what you would need.
Brian, how about this? How about you, because you know when play-by-play people, they always get asked this question, and you love it. How about you call a goal where Tim passes the puck to me, so Tim McKernan to Charlie Marlowe to Doug Vaughn for the game-winning goal for the Austin Stars, Texas Stars, beating the San Jose Barracuda.
So it's a double name team. It's like the Omaha Kansas City Kings.
Beating the San Jose Barracuda in Game 7 of the Minor League Cup Finals.
You don't have
Charlie,
to do this.
Charlie, that's not going to happen.
You have to do it. Come on, dude.
Good for you, Brian.
Play ball. No, play ball and do it, please. Come on.
First of all, you just like screwed up our team's name completely, calling it the Austin Stars and the Minor League Cup Final. It's the Calder Cup. It's been around for like 80 years. I'm not saying you have to be a hockey aficionado, but little show prep.
Please do the call. You know we don't do show prep. Please do the call. Just do the call.
You have seen behind the curtain.
You get engaged. You go to Quinn Snyder's stylist, and all of a sudden you don't have to do any show prep.
Brian, please do the call. We love you. Come on.
Brian, I respect you for not doing the call. It's like somebody say, tell me a joke. Sing for me. Dance for me. Man, take your shine box. Good for you, Brian, with an E. F you, Charlie. Good for you, Brian.
I would have liked to hear it.
So, like, you guys are in a new studio. Like, I've been removed for almost 2 years or whatever it's been. You guys are in a whole new location.
Yeah, we just moved last week, and about 80% of the time the mics work, and 75% of the time the phones work. So we're really kind of in a place where we like where we are, Doug.
We're right next to Taco Bell. How you doing?
Well, when you moved into the new studios, did you get a free RV that was left over at that place, or
yes.
How did that work?
It's
you know,
still here.
Funny you should bring that up. The van from the man/woman is actually still in one of the prime parking spots here, and
you
I have no idea
me.
Why. I'm dead. I swear to you, it is because
Has
I'll pull in
to hotwire it.
Doug, why don't we go out there and hotwire? Because you're having a car issue right now. You can maybe drive that around.
They didn't leave keys or anything to this van.
It's I think the receiver has it.
No.
Nope. It's part
of
the asset.
Is there a boot on it by chance?
I don't think so. It's just there if somebody wants to. And a lot of our listeners have come by and put, like, stickers for our show on the van. Our listeners are vandals.
Maybe I could drive that home.
Really?
I got to take my car to have it worked on after the show. Is it okay if I take the van home?
Of course.
Because I'm going to need a ride.
I think you just have to contact the bank.
Brian, do the call. Just do the call.
Charlie.
People want to hear you, man.
You know what, Charlie? I'll do it on the 27th and never.
Wow!
You just got stoned,
McKernan. This is one of the best lines in the league. McKernan to Marlowe to Vaughn, boom! Stars beat the Barracuda.
Yeah, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
No, he doesn't have to do it, Charlie.
I'll tell you what, maybe as long as this whole engagement thing doesn't go south for you in the next year, maybe I'll show up to your wedding and I'll do it like as part of a toast.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, he sure probably will hold you to that. So
if you get invited.
You're going to regret that, Brian, with me. Congratulations on your success, sir. We're all very happy for you, and you're going to be at the show soon, Doug. This guy's going to be at the show.
I know.
He really is.
I know.
Brian with today, congratulations. Thanks for dropping by the show, brother.
Appreciate it, boys. It's going to be a longer series than we think, but hopefully the Blues pull it out.
God bless you. There he is, Brian with an E, the voice of the Texas Stars, refusing to play in Charlie Marlowe's games, but he will at your wedding.
There we go. Good dude. Hard worker. He's going to do well, and he is doing well. Mm-hmm.
It's already doing better than
I
us.
I just said that.
Better than us, though.
Well, better than you.
I mean, you couldn't call an NHL or AHL playoff game or hockey game. Or
I couldn't call a hockey game. I couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't either. Try that. Turn the volume down on your TV sometime. Try to keep up with hockey and the names that you can barely see the players or their numbers. Everyone's wearing a helmet. That's hard.
He's good, man.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to see him with a little tic-tac-toe, McKernan to Marlo Devon.
Well, I think I'd probably just be selfish and fire, even if I don't really have any angle.
Yeah. Well, even if one of us scored, Tim, we would give credit
yes!
to the goal for you.
Yes! Thank you.
And if we didn't do it, your dad would change it in the box score.
Mm-mm. Maybe you would, though. I just got a text from somebody who would know the status of the van, the 590, the man, 1380, the woman that's in one of our prime parking spots.
Can I drive it home today as a vehicle?
And this person who would certainly know says no one knows where the keys are.
Have we looked in the van proper?
I don't know. I think Buck Swope came by and put a Ween Wednesday sticker on it.
Did he?
That increases the value.
Old Buck.
And then also catching up here, I mentioned a friend of mine from Sigma Chi University of Missouri. I think it was 96, Girls of the Big 12. He was in the, is it pictorial or pictorial?
I don't know. He was in the pictures.
So he was acting like he was asleep, and then these two broads got nakers at the Sigma Chi house, and it was in the Girls of the Big 12. And he just said the ladies in the spread did get paid. He said he talked to them after the shoot. He believes it was $500.
And where were they from? Were they college girls at Mizzou?
I don't know, but I remember they weren't sorority girls like, you know, what you would kind of, you know, hope.
Well, I don't know that it really matters as long as they went to school.
But I mean, it's part of the fantasy. Like, when you, like, for example, when you would go to Club Vogue, Business Loop 70.
Club Vogue?
You'd go, oh, maybe we're going to see the girl from our history course in the engineering building. Maybe she'll be there stripping. And in reality, that's not what would be there.
No, no. My point is, could they narrow it down? Were they actually University of Missouri students?
I believe so.
They were. Okay, well, then that counts.
They all have degrees, because that's important to me.
Well, not yet.
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to do right there? Drop out of that. The dump button works.
Like, I don't care if a girl's really hot and beautiful, but if she's not enrolled full-time, Doug, I'm not going to bother.
Part-time student couldn't appear in this
nope.
spread. Okay.
12 credit hours mini.
Okay.
Part-time lover. Who sang that? Part-time lover. Stevie Wonder, right?
I think it was Redek Foxa?
I don't think it was him.
I think he should have done the call, though. Right?
You put him on the spot.
No,
it's like having a comedian and go, tell me a joke, funny boy.
No, I'm telling you. I saw Joe Buck the other day. He was on
And he started calling. He did the David Freeze home run call for you.
Joe Buck was on the Dan Le Batard show, and they have fun in that show. They joke around, and they had him do a silly call of something, and Joe Buck played ball, and it was really funny.
Hmm. All right. You're just kind of putting somebody on the spot when you say that.
That's what we do on the show, Doug.
No.
Now my compadre who was in the pictorial?
I don't know. Let's get past it. Let's just say the pictures.
I would say pictorial.
Let's just say that he was in the pictures, and then we don't have to argue about it or question it.
One was a Missouri student. The other went to Columbia College.
Okay.
Do you have a problem with that? Because
no.
That's not in the Big 12. Might be soon. They're not doing well.
What conference is Columbia College in, Doug?
MEAC?
I don't know.
The big, is that the Mountain West?
It's NAIA, I believe.
Panthers? Cougars?
No. Barracuda?
No, it's not a Division I program.
But I think they're the Cougars. I'm not talking about Brio on a Thursday.
Okay.
All right, Rick Hummel's on the line, and he's in the Hall of Fame, so enough of you.
All right.
Commish, good morning.
Hi, boys.
Carlos Martinez, is he the ace of this team?
Oh, absolutely.
There
I thought he won at the start of the season. I thought he'd won the most games of anybody. And, of course, it's easy to say that now, but I felt that then. And that's... You know, he's your number five starter when the season started, except he really wasn't your number five starter.
Yeah, and last night he was just brilliant. 8 innings, 3 hits, struck out 4. And that was a pretty good lineup that hit him for 12 runs the night before.
Well, the 4 strikeouts is interesting because he's usually a better strikeout guy than that, but that means he's learning the benefits of getting outs on ground balls and fly balls where he can go deeper into games. He got 105 pitches out of 8 innings last night.
And then, Kamish, also, I think as we all predicted in the offseason, everybody knew that the Cardinals would be leading the league in home runs here early in the season, led by the likes of guys like Jeremy Hazelbaker and Brandon Moss and others.
We all knew that, of course, Charlie.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, for those who whined the last few years about they finished laying last in home runs in the league 2 years ago and pretty far down the line last year, there is some benefit. Now, they still have to shore up that defense a little bit, but that's how they lose some of these games.
How are they doing that? How do you go from a team that has no power to a team that's first in the league in home runs?
Well, Moss is a home run hitter. He just didn't play much here last year and wasn't able to hit home runs because of his hip, I guess. He had four home runs here in 2.5 months last year. He has already five. Hazelbaker came out of nowhere to hit five. Piscotty's got some power, as you see, and Grichuk has hit some home runs, and Holiday has hit only one less home run than he had last year. So I think the people were in place. Jerko is a different guy. You know, your bench has got, what, seven home runs already? And they had, I think, four all last season?
Yeah, they had the three pinch hit home runs in one game. They shook up the lineup last night. Hazelbaker leading off, Carpenter got dropped a little lower. What did you think of that? What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, Holiday was out, and they needed the three hitter, and I thought Carpenter was the best. Carpenter is a three type hitter, I think, but he likes Hazelbaker's speed at the top of the lineup. Carpenter gets you on base percentage, but no speed at the top, and Hazelbaker at least can run a little bit, and as long as he's still relatively hot, you want to play him. I don't know how it will be when Holiday comes back. I guess he'll be third, but I wouldn't be surprised tonight if I don't know if he plays tonight or not. But Carpenter can hit third, and it's funny, he had no hits last night, but he had three walks.
And Commish, this is more of a question for down the road when Johnny Peralta comes back, and I don't think anyone expects Aledmys Diaz to hit 500, but if he is still a really good offensive player, what do you think you do there when you have Peralta back? You have a guy like Diaz who is hitting well, not the greatest defensively, and then you have Colton Wong who is off to a tough start to the season.
Well, if you've noticed, the last couple games, they've had Diaz playing other positions when the game was over. He ended up at second base one night, and he ended up at third base last night. So they're getting some looks. This is the way they intended to see him play, was at all three positions, not necessarily just to be their shortstop. Although I do see him improving at shortstop. I see him taking a little crow hop in his throws to first base last night, which were much more accurate than they had been in most other games this year. If he's hitting anywhere close to what he's hitting now, you'll find a spot for him on your team and get him a lot of playing time. Peralta's your shortstop when he comes back, but Diaz can be on your club.
So you think Wong's playing time is in jeopardy?
It already has been. Now, he's been sick a little bit, and Jerko has had a couple hitless games now, I guess, since he had that big back-to-back games on Saturday and Sunday. So I would think the first right-hander you see, which will be tomorrow night, I think Wong would be back in there. You've invested a lot of money in Wong. He's going to have to play because he does give you a great defense on occasion, and he has been able to hit and steal bases when he got on base. So that's still your guy. I don't think you can give anybody else his job just yet here.
When they signed Diaz out of Cuba as a kid, they must have known that he had a big bat, but the power is what's been really amazing. He had a second deck home run in San Diego.
Oh, he's got a big bat. Even the balls he hits hard. He hit a couple balls hard for outs last night. And I don't think they thought his throwing arm would be a factor, but he hurt his arm after he signed with them a couple years ago. So he just looked better last night, but that is going to be an issue. And he's going to be a regular player for this team for a long time. I'm just not sure at which position that's going to be.
Commish, I see that there's two teams in baseball that have won 15 games, and they're both in Chicago. Yeah. White Sox and the Cubs. You think the Cubs are a risk to run away with it and be long way ahead here in another month or two?
Yeah. They're at risk. The Cardinals in Pittsburgh are good enough to hang with them. But the Cubs are every bit as good as people feared they would be. I mean, people here anyway feared they would be. They had virtually no injuries of consequence last year. And it's awfully hard for teams to go two seasons in a row like that. I mean, the Cardinals have had nothing close to injury-free seasons in the last few years. They had all kinds of guys on the DL last year, and they have all kinds of guys on the DL now. So let's see if the Cubs hold up. They've got the player. If they kept this lineup intact all year long, they're going to win.
And Kamisha, again, it's so early in the season. I'm, 20 games in. But when you look at the standings and you think about some teams that probably will be there at the end, like the Nationals and even the Mets team that may give the Nationals a run for their money, if not be right in there for the wild card. You got the Cubs, you got the Dodgers, and even the Giants right now are right around 500, but you could see them making a surge. It just seems like for the Cardinals this year, it is going to be much more difficult to even get to that first or second wild card spot.
Well, the division is what they shoot for first. That wild card stuff, the thing is a real crapshoot because you could be one game, you could be out. The Cubs are going to be there because they can pitch. They have two great starting pitchers and several other good ones. The closer is the guy I'm keeping my eye on, Rondo, and he's done well so far. But let's see how he does when he's closing for a team that's supposed to win down the line here. Their defense is better than it has been in a long time. That's what impresses me. And they hit for power, so they're going to be there. The Cardinals, it wasn't easy for them last year. They had to win 100 games to win the division, basically. 98 and 97 were the next two teams in order with Pittsburgh and the Cubs. So it's going to be hard anyway. But the Cubs are now better than they were, and Pittsburgh's about as good as it was.
Now that we've seen the Cardinals for 20 games, are you adjusting your preseason thoughts about them, or are they about who you thought they'd be?
Well, I thought Wainwright and Leake would have at least one win between them by now, so that's something you didn't see coming. You've got your two of your three highest-paid players on the club don't have a win. So that if that continues, they can't win without those guys contributing, and those guys I would think would contribute unless everybody's real wrong about that. It would be nice to see Wainwright crank one up tonight and Leake on Friday, where they don't have to necessarily be the winning pitchers, but they have to pitch winning games, and Wainwright has pitched no winning games, really, and Leake maybe won.
Yeah, Leake has actually been a bigger surprise to me than Wainwright, as odd as that might sound. I guess Wainwright's been worse than my expectations were, but I thought Leake would be much, much better. Hopefully, it turns around. Cardinals with the win last night. Carlos Martinez appearing to be the ace so far, 20 games into the season. Rick Hummel with us twice a week here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. Kamish, always great to hear from you. Thank you for the time this morning.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
There he is.
Thanks.
Hummel with us on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Charlie, I offered you the bet 2 weeks ago. I will put it there again. The over-under for wins for the Cardinals in 2016, 87.5 preseason. I will still put the wager out there for you. Would you like some action whore?
What was that last word?
This is kind of the way to do it.
I think when you asked that, I took the over. I think it's a very good over-under. And I'd probably go under now, but I think it's going to be really close. I think the Cardinals, I look at them and I'm thinking 86, 87, 88 wins. That's my opinion. I do think Wainwright and Leake will pitch better. I don't think some of these guys, the Hazel Bakers and Aledmys Diaz, even if they're good players, they have to regress to the mean a little bit. I don't think they're necessarily going to lead the league in home runs, the Cardinals are. I can see them as a above 500 team, but not an elite team.
Run differential mean anything at all to you fellas?
Yeah, they're second,
nice.
Doug.
Yes, they are. They're a plus 41, second only to the Cubs at plus 69. That's what I remember. I'm not looking at the stats now or anything.
I know.
I think it looks like they're going to be a lot better hitting team than they were last year, a lot better. And Wainwright and Leake have the track record to indicate that they're not going to be this bad. They got to be better than this. I think they'll still be over 87.5, as much because there are some really awful teams in the National League that they should be able to beat up on.
Throw down some cash, man. We bet right now.
Boy, you even closed your eyes halfway when you said that. I can't match that sort of street cred.
No. It's too much. I grew up on Tam Avenue.
Yeah, I'm not trying to give the division to the Cubs right now.
They're taking it.
Right. I think most people would just look at the teams, and if there's not crazy injuries for the Cubs, I do think the Chicago Cubs are a better team than the Cardinals by a little bit. And also, it's one series that we saw, but it was the Cubs at Busch Stadium. It was the Cubs without Arrieta and Lester throwing in that series. And, they took 2 of 3. And I know it's one series. I'm just saying I think it's going to be very hard for the Cardinals to win the division. And I think this year, the wild card with teams like the Giants in the mix for the wild card and the Mets and even the Pirates, it's going to be really tough to make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I think the Cubs will win the division. The Cubs are scary good. They might win 105 games or so. I mean, they've got two or three guys that could be MVPs. And they haven't really cranked it up. Rizzo's just now getting it going.
One guy who's really been playing over his head is Fowler, offensively.
Yeah.
unless I'm missing an obvious one. But, yes, the core guys you think of haven't yet.
Right. Rizzo got hot here the last week.
I was confused by it in spring training. And I was thinking maybe I'm missing something here. But the talk was, well, the Cardinals pitching certainly better than the Cubs. And I'm going, God, I mean, of all of the starters, the best one. I guess people maybe viewed Arrieta as a fluke. But, I mean, Arrieta and Lester and Lackey, that's a great top three. The names the Cardinals have in their rotation, career-wise, Adam Wainwright has the best career of the whole group of the 10 starters. If you're going to include, who else, would you include Hendricks and Hamill? And that's now you got your five Cubs and you got the Cardinals with
them. Yeah. Well, Arrieta, I think, is the best pitcher in the game right now.
Yeah.
His numbers say that he is.
I just think, understandably, people thought, okay, that was a flash-in-the-pan fluke thing. But ever since he's come over from Baltimore and got, John Smoltz, who was the other? It was Smoltz for, Doyle Alexander or something trade 30 years ago, whatever it was, 25 years ago, that lopsided trade with the Orioles, he's been sick. And Matt Carpenter played with him at TCU and said in college, we all saw the talent, but when he got up to the big leagues, he just kind of scuffled a bit. But now he's found himself. Got some accusations of PED use, which he absolutely shot down yesterday because of him doing something that was totally against the way that he started in the big leagues, in particular with Baltimore. But you combine that top three in the rotation with that lineup, and yes, I agree with you. And the one reason why I still don't see the Cardinals winning 88 games, that's my reasoning, and I think it's just, I don't even think it's a 60-40. I just think it's such a big gap. I hope I'm wrong from a fan standpoint, and I didn't bet on it anyway. I guess I bet with some guy on the fan page, like $100. But I was seriously thinking about putting a big amount of money on it, but I didn't want to spend all summer cheering against him, because if I would have put a big amount of money on it, I would have had to go where the money is. But there are so many teams who are so bad that it really would make you think they could get to that number, even if they're not your standard 88 win team. The thing is, they've already played seven games against two of those teams, and two of those teams don't reside in the National League Central, which means they aren't going to see the Braves a bunch more. They aren't going to see the Padres a bunch more. They got one more series with the Braves in St. Louis, and they got one more series with the Padres, and that's in St. Louis. And when they did play the Cubs and Pirates, as Charlie was making reference to, they didn't see Arrieta or Lester. And when they played the Pirates, they didn't see Cole. So, the offense, however, what they're getting from Diaz, you couldn't have handicapped it. I don't know if Hazelbaker is something that you can. I would sell that stock. But Diaz, that could be something else. And in my whole reasoning going into the season on not being bullish on the Cardinals, I just felt like they were leveraged from a health standpoint. I thought Wainwright would trend down. I thought they were going to have to play Molina and Holiday, and they weren't going to produce offensively. And they've superseded from Holiday's power numbers at the start and from Molina's. Molina's just at this point, he is what would get labeled as a professional hitter. He's just not, he's just slapping the ball, and it's leading to base hits. God bless him. It's not your ideal number five, but he's getting base hits, tip of the cap. I thought the batting average over-under for Molina going into the season was 290, and I'm like, God almighty, take the under on that. Batting average over-under for Holiday going into the season was 270. I said, I'm all over the over on that. Mm-hmm. But as far as power numbers goes, he's not gonna throw home runs. Well, he's hit some home runs so far. Certainly ahead of the pace that he was on last year, and obviously an injury-plagued season. So maybe it can happen as far as getting in that mid-80s win total. But if I had to bet, and I wanted to, I would bet the under on the 87.5. And anybody who wants action, you know where to find me. I'm by the Taco Bell.
T-Bell, yep. Doug. I wouldn't feel real good about either of those, though. Like, I think that would go down to the wire between 87 and 88-ish. Because
it's,
also,
yeah,
I know,
like a pretty good
name. I know the team is, it's hard to be as good as you were last year. Even with the offense not being great last year, the pitching staff from starter to bullpen was the best in all of baseball. And you won 100 games. It's a precipitous drop to even drop 12 games, down to 88. But I don't know. Watching this team, they just don't strike me as an elite team. But I do think they're a very good team.
There's not many teams that win 100 games.
That's what I'm saying.
So they're not going to have many years at all with great teams where you win 100. So you had to expect a precipitous drop, as you would say.
But even a drop of you know, in a normal season, you could drop 7 or 8 wins, and that's a pretty big drop.
Benjamin Hockman with this text to me. He said, Jason Hamill's the one changing the balance of the power on the pitching staffs. If you take a look at his numbers through 3 starts, 3-0 with a .75 ERA and 22 Ks. How about that?
We don't like to look up stats.
Yeah. I actually had him up right here, and he has the second-best ERA in all of baseball, better than Jake Arrieta.
Wow. Arrieta's doing things that haven't been done since Gibson in 67, 68 with his string of, I think it's now 24 consecutive quality starts. I think he's 15-0 in his last 16 starts.
Just he could be 16-0, you're saying, so not
yeah,
that
well, not even Gibson was 16-0.
2 no-hitters.
Yeah.
Charlie, like Darren, had selected Chicago to beat our Blues. Shouldn't we be calling him Buddha Hawk? I don't understand.
Buddha Hawk? I don't get it.
Buddha as in chubby?
I guess that's supposed to be funny.
Well,
I don't get it. I don't know.
The Blues Hawks series was 50-50.
Bad read, nurse.
I'm not going to be. Look, I try to tell you my honest opinion. I just didn't think they were going
to
win.
I have to say, something.
It was 50-50.
That's really. And I shouldn't care, and I guess I don't care. It just is a nuisance. And what I try to do, Doug, and I want to restate this because it's kind of my way of life. I try to maximize the number of orgasms I experience. That's really, I guess, A number one. Secondly, just not do stuff I don't want to do. And that's really kind of my modus operandi. And I suppose number three would be if you know that someone or something is going to bring negativity into your life, just make sure that you don't either have contact with that person or you just avoid that which would bring you negativity. And so something I can tell you along those lines, I'll give you a tip on orgasms on Thursday.
Yeah.
But as far as number three,
yeah.
When you make a prediction regarding a sporting event, there's no upside. It's awful. And you can have the most sincere belief in it. There's no agenda. It's just, this is what I think. And then inevitably it will lead to a collection of anonymous hand jobs on Twitter or Facebook or something like that going, how do you think about the Blackhawks now, Charlie? You know, and they may breathe through their mouths. And so, therefore, making predictions on sporting events has negative return on investment. I mean, there's a gentleman in there. He forever will now be known as a Plowhawk.
Great name, though.
Only because
and all he did was give his opinion that the defending Stanley Cup champions would beat the team that hasn't been able to get out of the first round since 2012. Bold statement.
Maybe he prefers Plowhawk to Plowboy.
Plowhawk, do you have a preference? Plow Penguin, Plow Star, Plow Shark, Plow Duck, Plow Predator.
I like the Plowhawk name. I don't like what it represents as meaning I'm a Blackhawks fan, quote unquote. I do not like that. I like the name itself, though.
I like Plowhawk and Plow Shark the best.
Yeah, I like Plow Shark, too.
But also, like anybody in the media or a fan, if you predict a series, it doesn't matter. It has no impact on the series. That's why it always bothers me when any coach or player, oh, you've been hyping it up, and oh, all the naysayers. Like Chip Hale, the manager of the Diamondbacks.
It's time for a Chip Hale take.
No, but after the first game, Greinke got blown up. He goes, well, you guys hyped it up all winter long, so you did your job. Congratulations.
Like, blame
the media. Like it's
he
the
did.
Fault.
He did. That
no,
was bizarre.
I mean, you go out, you get Shelby Miller, you get Zach Greinke. People are excited. That's a good thing. You should want people to be excited about your team and come to your games. When you lose, it has nothing to do with the fans, it has nothing to do with the media. I hate when players and coaches talk about that. The whole distraction thing, you make it a distraction, okay? You should be mentally tougher, and you're a professional athlete. You shouldn't even listen to the media or the fans.
But
we do this for fun.
Like the manager gets
him. Time.
I think he probably thought that he had his players back by saying that.
Okay, but a lot of managers and a lot of players say this in all sports.
Yeah.
Hype is good, okay?
Yes.
You want people to be excited about
hype
your product.
Hype puts fans in the seats and gets them to watch the games on TV. Yeah, that's exactly what you would want is hype. Especially on a guy who was one of the top pitchers in baseball the year before, Greinke, who can't get anybody out this
what's
year.
Going on there? Greinke, Wainwright, what's the word? Kershaw got hit hard last night. Giancarlo to the batter's eye. Andrew McCutchen yard three times.
Yeah, three home runs.
Three Jimmy Jacks.
I had him on my DraftKings team. What? I had Brandon Moss on my DraftKings team.
So did you win?
I cashed. Many. And these guys who do this stuff, this daily fantasy. It's like when I'm sitting down at the World Series of Poker. You know, when I'm playing here, I might be all right, but I go out there. You know, they're running circles around me, baby. They're running circles around me. Algorithms.
Do you demonstrate your street cred?
I can, but a lot of them are from, like, Europe and the Pacific Rim.
They don't understand what you're saying.
Right.
They're rimmers.
And they have, clip that off, and they have headphones and sunglasses and hooded sweatshirts and Adderall.
So you can't tell what they're thinking because of these sweatshirts.
They have these Beats by Dre or these Bose headphones.
Yeah.
And that shows that they're cool as well.
Yeah.
They're listening to Tiesto.
They probably are.
And Hardwell.
They probably are. Hardwell.
You think they're making a ton of money?
If they can only play poker, yes. But a lot of them are degenerates or they get hooked on white. And that's where the money goes.
Why would that go hand in hand?
Because you're living in Las Vegas and you don't have a job and you have a bunch of money.
So yeah, I got to go to drugs? I got money in my pocket, so I better get some drugs?
You start partying, you know.
Well, you can go to a lot of parties, and the subject of drugs never comes up, does it?
But, like, clubs in Las Vegas.
If you're in Vegas and you're playing poker where you're basically playing...
And you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
You're playing from, like, 11 at night till 5 or 6 in the morning. That's pretty much your schedule.
Longer than that, yeah. No. Playing during the day, picking off tourists like me.
Picking
I'm going
them
to go play 1-2, no limit, and I'm going to go do well. Picking me off, reading me like a book, like an effing mentalist.
Huh.
Drunk people.
Well, I just don't get the step where you say, well, I'm doing well, this sure is fun, I think I'll take cocaine. That's a big leap to
put. But if you lived in Miami, I mean, right, you know what it's like in a party city like that. I'm not saying you partook, but I'm saying...
Lots of parties in my life and never saw people do cocaine.
But just think about this. If you're playing poker, you're like a 23-year-old in Las Vegas, in Sin City, you're playing poker all night... You're running around with young people that are drinking and all that.
Got fine bitches.
Fine
bitches. But if you're smart enough to beat the system and be very successful at poker, it's really stupid to take that leap into drugs. You think it's just a stupid thing to do. It doesn't make you cool or anything.
I'm not saying it's smart. I'm telling you that if these guys could just focus on playing online poker and not get caught up in that, then they would be successful. But a lot of them become degenerate gamblers and start betting on sports and the crap that you don't have a positive EV on. And that's where they run into trouble. Or they start playing blackjack or craps or something like that just because it's a sweat and they just need the rush. That's what I'm saying. If they could just play poker, they can do that professionally and win consistently. You will have downswings. But, you know, you have to move to Las Vegas if you want to play live because you can't play online in the United States unless you want to set up a VPN, which means you're setting up an address from an international location so you can play in the United States. And so they move out there and they might get hooked on the white. It's not everybody by any means, or they might just start betting on all kinds of crap, you know.
So you're saying white bread, like...
White bread's not good for you
like
either.
Bunny bread.
That's true. That's what I said. Bunny bread. Wonderful. Does somebody have white? Thanks, Big Al.
I could see Big Al back in the day.
Tim, I don't play poker and I still do cocaine. Thanks, Zambo.
I have to say, I never saw it. In my fraternity days, in my single days, I never saw people doing cocaine.
Let me ask you this.
In bars, at parties,
I never saw it. Like Dee's place.
Would you talk about it on the radio?
Well, yeah, I'm not just people I know, or people I don't know. I didn't see random people doing it either.
Guys, when I was in Ibiza, the white was just used wherever and whenever. It was a fun trip. Thanks, Milt Thompson.
Okay, Milt. Not a bad outfielder.
I like the name Milt. Like, Milt, nobody names their kid Milt anymore. No. When you look at the top names of 2016, yeah, it's like, you know, Skyler and Cassidy.
Cassidy, great. What's a good star?
Nobody names their kid Doug anymore either. There's no little kids running around that are Doug. I have every class I was in school, there were three other Dougs.
I don't think Doug is like a really cool name, though.
Oh, my word.
Pardon the hell out of
me. No, I'm not trying to be mean.
No.
But I think Milt is kind of like a cool
Milt
name.
It doesn't sound like a little kid though, a little
like
baby.
An old school, it's an old school baseball name. It's Milt Pappas.
What's the like the birth certificate name on somebody named Milt?
Milton.
Is it?
Milton Berle. Yeah.
And Margaret's Peggy?
Yeah.
And you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I don't really get that one. Not all Peggy's are Margaret though. And some Margaret's just become Marge.
Is there any attractive women named Marge?
Sure, there have been.
Go ahead.
Well, I would have to look it up. I don't know a lot of Marges anymore.
Guys, cocaine's a lot more fun than poker. Thanks, 314. From the 314, cocaine is the new weed. Butch McGuire.
Well, maybe it is for that guy. You just
Butch McGuire.
I think what you mentioned earlier, the new Coke is probably Adderall. And I know it's not exactly the same, but like I feel like everybody does that now. All the college kids, you have people that they feel like they can't study for a test without Adderall.
Yeah.
And that was going on a little bit when I was in college. I went to college from 2000 to 2004. Like I saw and heard about it a little bit. But now I feel like it's very prevalent.
How about Marge Helgenberger? She's kind of attractive.
Yes, she is. Right. Who is she?
I have no idea.
You just what'd you just type?
Hit Marge. Type hot I hit Marge and images. Yeah,
that's actually not a Marge. It's like a Marg. I forgot it's spelled differently. I looked at it as well.
And it's pronounced Marg.
Marg. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. How do you know?
I feel like I can't move my microphone because it's like the creaky door from the what's the Michael Jackson Thriller video?
Yeah, Vincent Price.
Listen,
St. Louis, and we
gotta everybody be quiet so I can do this. Already, listen.
Okay,
this is me just trying to move my mic to try to have like a normal conversation. Here we go. Ready? I wasn't like embellishing that. That wasn't 2 minutes for embellishment.
And then you hear the footsteps. Play the Thriller video if you guys would, because you'll hear the similarities. And then you hear the footsteps. Somebody walks into the haunted house. And then all of a sudden you hear the wonderful Vincent Price of Webster Grove.
Out of Country Day, right?
It was the MICDS?
Yeah.
New money.
See what my mic sounds like. Not bad.
Mine's way better. Listen to this. I could play a song.
Yeah, that's like a remix right there.
Chicken, 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 chicken.
That just knocked my computer offline, Charlie. You wiggling the table.
I'm going to move it back just, and then I'll be done, I promise. I'll move it back. Okay, there we go.
Guys, she's on Law and Order. She's smoking. Doug should get with her. Thanks, Stephen Wildwood. Guys, aren't all Peggy's obese? Thanks, the Hunchback of One Castle. Is that true?
What about Peggy Sue Got Married?
Peggy Lipton on the Mod Squad, she wasn't obese at all.
Mm.
Peggy Fleming?
Peggy Fleming certainly wasn't obese. No, that was an inaccurate statement.
Doug, the reason you haven't seen anybody do cocaine is because everyone is snorting it off your sweet ass.
Ah, who? Who was that, then?
314.
314, you've been suspended for that comment. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name went into the Regazzi suspension log. You're handsome. It's leather-bound. Well, they have a nurse's happy hour happening right now, Tim.
Early morning.
8 to 10 a.m. for those second shift workers.
Could you imagine? Nurses. Going to get your breakfast and you have some mic. Food. Yeah. And have a drink, and there's a bunch of really attractive nurses.
Ew.
Candy stripers.
Hanging out.
Truman's and Soulard's a great place to go to watch your Cardinal baseball, watch your Blues playoff. We have another couple weeks of playoff hockey at least. I think this channel is heading down market on June 9th. Doug, get ready. You'll be at a wedding in Atlanta, but Charlie and I will be lifting up the chalice at O.B. Clark's. That's where we'll be.
I'll be drinking Bud Light right out of the chalice.
What? In the bud.
You think they're going to give you that, do you?
I would think so. Truman's Place is the place to be this spring for Cardinal baseball, Blues playoff hockey. Their covered patio is perfect for watching the game on their huge outdoor TVs. And, Doug, if you need a ride to the ballpark, that's what
ballpark.
It says, take the free shuttle down to the game. Truman's and Soulard, your neighborhood bar, 1818 Sydney Street or TrumanSoulard.com. Support the sponsors. Tease Farm, 9 o'clock hour coming up. Ray Ferraro, former Blue, and now with TSN, talking Blues, Stars, Blues, Blackhawks. That's coming your way. Plus, email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Misty Plops and Cucky the Dwarf are the only ones who can mathematically win. Email of the month for April. It's going to be a thrilling battle coming up at 9:45. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
WGNU, Granite City, KPNT, HD2, Collinsville.
Guess what's going on at Appliance Discounters, the GE Great American Cooking Event. It's Denise from Appliance Discounters here to tell you that you don't want to miss this great deal from GE. Whether you're remodeling, building, or just replacing a cooking appliance,